Our first speaker is Ian McKellen. He is a sustainability coordinator at the University of Miami. He's a graduate with a bachelor's and master's degrees in management of technology from the Industrial Engineering School at the University of Miami. So help me welcome Ian.
Thank you. Good morning. Again, my name is Ian McKellen, and I'll be presenting on behalf of the Department of Epidemiology and Public Health, University of Miami, on green collar workers, surveillance strategies for the new workforce frontier. Oh, sure, yeah. Is that better? Okay, great. So we have no conflict of interest with anybody in our group working on this project. This is partially funded by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and the National Institute of Arthritis and Musculoskeletal and Skin Diseases, and also the European Regional Development Fund and European Social Fund. Over the past couple years, there's been a large shift in society towards more sustainable practices. You've probably seen some of these topics, whether it be wind power, greenhouse gas emissions, solar power, electric cars. There's been a large shift in our society towards more sustainable and environmentally friendly practices. So that has created a green economy within our country. The green economy is an evolutionary process where employers in the U.S. sector strive to conserve energy and resources while reducing greenhouse gas emissions. This has also made a large change in the makeup of our workforce and the conditions that they are facing. Here are some things you've probably seen, whether it's products you purchase or services you use, such as green building or green seal certified products. Everywhere you look, you're starting to see more sustainable practices and products and services. So what does this mean? This means that we're having a changing workforce with a green economy and green workers. So what is a green collar worker? In 2007, the United States Green Jobs Act authorized $125 million a year to create a green energy and efficiency and renewable energy worker training program. As part of that, our economy obviously is continually moving towards more environmentally friendly practices, and green jobs are playing a pivotal role in defining who our workforce is and what their roles are. So how do we classify what a green collar worker is? Well, what's happening is there's three different categories. You can classify it as the increased demand for fields for jobs that already exist. There will be enhanced skills, so there'll be an alteration of current jobs. For instance, someone doing roofing may now be installing solar panels. And then also there's new and emerging occupations which have not occurred before, and there's going to be new training for those. To further classify that, ONET actually classifies them in 11 different categories, and you can see here some of the areas of energy and carbon capture, recycling, green construction. All these areas help to kind of classify and specify what a green collar worker is. And what is the problem right now? Well, currently there's a lack of surveillance systems to define these group of workers. We have very little information on, some very little scientific information on their health status, the functional limitation and injuries and other issues facing this dynamic workforce, and also what is their job description? How do we define them? So how are we going to describe this and classify this group? Well, we're going to take a baseline demographic and use current federal databases and innovatively combine them in a cost-effective way to describe and document what a green collar worker is and what health conditions they're affecting or being affected by. The first thing we're using is the National Health Interview Survey. This is an annual survey that classifies workers from a different perspective of health conditions, physical conditions, limitations. This is coded with a 6-digit code, and that is a privately available and publicly available information. And what is ONET? So ONET is the Occupational Resource Network, and this is an online publicly available information. And this is consistently undergoing development, and it's sponsored by the U.S. Department of Labor, Employment and Training Administration. Each ONET group is given an occupational title, and it links it with standard occupational classification codes that link, again, to NHIS and other databases. And again, and ONET has decided in 2009 to start classifying the green economy and green workers. There's 11 codes we used before. have been discussed are down at the bottom there. You can see this is from their website. They have seen the importance of the growing workforce and started to classify this group of workers. And so what information is available on the ONET system? You can look into worker characteristics, requirements, experience requirements, training, and even more specific things of what they're actually doing and requirements. This allows us to build a classification of a green-collar worker and what their conditions they're encountering. And again, if you go in further detail into the ONET system, you can see they have the green economy sectors earlier we mentioned, and in the left-hand column, you can see they're talking about earlier, I classified the three groups of enhanced skills, or new and emerging skills, or currently existing roles. You can see all those on the left, and then you can see the right, the more specific job titles. Going further, you can see the SOC code highlighted there, and that allows us to link to other databases, as well as if you continue to search deeper into the system, you can look at very specific tasks, roles, training, skills, things like that for each of the specific green job area. So how are we going to link these two? Well, we're going to link to the NHIS database coding, which is the six-digit code I mentioned before, and it's going to be aided by the National Center for Health Statistics Research Data Center, and that allows us to link up to the ONET codes and the SOC codes there, and then we can classify what the surveys are seeing based on the different green-collar workforces and work profiles we've developed through the ONET. This provides a very cost-effective way and efficient way to do it. So what's the future significance? Obviously, this is a growing group in our workforce, and it demands attention and demands classification as it grows and as we start to see sustainability growing across our country. I myself would be considered a green-collar worker because I direct all of the environmental programs from the University of Miami, whether that be energy, recycling, education. So I'm also part of this new workforce. And these are roles that didn't exist 5 years ago or 10 years ago. It's a growing sector of our economy, as I mentioned before. This will allow us also to figure out the health characteristics of these workers. What are they facing? And a specific example would be, can we look at things like enhanced skill green workers, which are you're changing your core roles, and will they be different than increased demand? So we're going to see things in the current green job workers. What are we seeing of those who already have roles versus people who have changing roles? In terms of statistical analysis, you can use multivariable regression to test for differences in reported musculoskeletal disorders and green collar worker type. Other interesting things that I'm considering for the future is looking at, since this is a work in progress, is looking at things like how do you compare someone working, the health conditions of someone working in, say, coal or other energy sectors versus someone working in a more sustainable field? What is the difference of the production of energy and what's the human impact of producing coal versus solar or wind, things like that? And thank you. Any questions? I think there's quite a few hazards at the margin. I think one was an example before I used. If someone has been in the roofing business, you see a lot of the people in the roofing areas now transitioning to installing solar panels. So if you talk about musculoskeletal disorders, what are they now dealing with in terms of lifting heavy solar panels, installing them? What are the ergonomic changes that are occurring in their daily work? So you can see with those, and especially with the fields that are adapting to the green collar workforce, are they encountering different ergonomic issues and exposure issues? Yes. Oh, sure. So she asked for a specific example of if you're having people install green roofs, which include gardens and planting plantings and kind of putting landscaping on roofs, and the idea is that insulates a building, things like that. Her question is if you do that, and she's had experience before with someone mentioning this story where Another worker comes in at a later date and is unable to do the work they need because of the insulation of the green roof. And she asked if I was going to look into that. That is definitely an area to consider in the future. I think the first consideration is going to be the musculoskeletal area and then move to that. But it's definitely an interesting consideration is this green work allowing for other workers? And I think that's kind of the interesting question is, does that next person who is servicing these items become a green worker as well? That's a very interesting classification that's going to be. But I think the ONET lays out a very good basic framework for how to categorize and classify what a green worker is. Yes, go ahead. I've definitely seen that there's definitely overlap, and how do you classify what is a green worker? But I think that SOC codes, again, I have to reference those, really kind of help give us a standard baseline for now. I'm sure it'll be obviously an ongoing process of as sectors change and the workforce changes that they'll be altering what the definitions are. Thank you.